Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Tata Chemicals Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gavin Desa from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vico. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Tata Chemicals Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. R. Mukundan, the Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Zarir Langrana, Executive Director, and Mr. Nandakumar Tirumalai, the Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. I now invite Mr. Mukundan to begin proceedings of the call. Over to you, Mukundan.
Thanks, Gavin. Good morning and welcome, everyone, to our Quarter 1 FY24 earnings call. I'm joined by my colleagues, Nandu and Zarir, for today's call. I'll start the discussion with key operational highlights across business geographies, following which Nandu will walk you through our financial performance for the quarter. Tata Chemicals, at consolidated level, had a higher revenue on account of better realization, partly impacted by lower volumes. I'll come to that in a minute. There has also been an EBITDA growth driven by higher realization. There is an impact on PAT and PBT due to higher interest cost and higher tax outflow because many of our entities now don't have the tax shield which they had because they're all net positive, cumulative positive in terms of tax calculation, especially Magadi and U.S. also, which is now on a higher tax rate. I will now give an update on soda ash demand-supply situation. As you would all know, the China net supply increased in the market, partly driven by, I think, post-COVID slowdown lower than demand in China. We expected a pretty strong recovery that has not happened, and that slowdown has created a surplus in the market. And added to that was Inner Mongolia capacity, which came on stream maybe about 5-6 months sooner than expected. But this was anticipated, but it came earlier. That, coupled with lower demand, created a demand-supply ease in the market. The rest of the markets, the demand was as planned in terms of more or less stable, and India also remained stable in general, mainly driven by the sustainability demand coming off glass sector. But the domestic supplies in India were largely impacted due to surging imports, which increased by almost double. And Tata Chemicals had to take appropriate steps in the marketplace to ensure its supplies to customers were at the most competitive levels. Coupled with that, in some parts of the world, there was some delay in purchase decisions, which, on the expectation of management of inventory levels, which had gone up due to supply chain constraints in the past, which have now eased, and some postponement of purchase decision expectation of a lower pricing over a period of time. Our overall demand-supply situation remains robust, mainly driven by the growth in the key markets which we have highlighted before, driven by energy transition, and that will continue to be so. I'll talk about the near-term challenge, but I think in the medium and long term, it remains still the same as we had given commentary last time. Moving on to Tata Chemicals' market position, I think we have our net sales in India was about 180,000 tons. This includes India production and Magadi imports into India as compared to 185,000 tons last year, which is almost 96% of last year. This was despite the impact of 10 days which we had in dispatches in Mithapur due to the Biparjoy cyclone, because of which there was some slowdown in availability of rakes and trucks. And obviously, for about 3-4 days, the district administration had stopped all road and rail movements due to safety issues. But however, we did manage to get to 96% of quantity as last year, combining TCL sales, Tata Chemicals sales in India. Our focus continues to ensure our customers are serviced, and we maintain our position with customers through engagement with them, and continue to maintain steady margins with focus on cost, and that focus still continues. In addition to soda ash business, the rest of the other parts of the world, especially UK and US, performed to our plan. Magadi was partly impacted by certain supply chain issues which impacted its sales into Southeast Asia, and also there was an increased pressure of Chinese material availability in that market. That position is being corrected as we speak. In terms of our specialty products, Rallis overcame a challenging period and was able to restrict the impact on its EBITDA due to better product mix, OPEX control and pricing action. And that has been visible in the results which they declared. Relative to marketplace, they have performed to a plan. To conclude, we expect the market to remain in the range-bound situation with certain supply demand-supply situation easing in the short term. And over a medium term, our overall target in terms of positive changes happening on the demand side, which will lead to balanced demand-supply situation medium to long term, still remains our base case. With this, I'd like to add that we remain committed to our expansion plan, which have already been approved by the board, of approximately 300,000 tons in India, about 250,000 tons in Kenya, and about 400,000 tons in US, about 1 million ton, all worldwide capacities put together. In addition, we are scaling up our salt capacities in India. And in UK, we will be, by the end of this year, our pharmaceutical grade salt plant will be operational. We remain focused on managing our margins and cost structures, ensuring debt repayment continues, and strengthening the cash flows. We continue to deleverage and repay our debt. This quarter, we repaid about $95 million. In US, we repaid about $45 million. In Singapore, about $50 million. So we remain committed to ensuring a very balanced approach to marketplace and a very conservative approach to our balance sheet and a very robust approach to our growth plans, and we remain on track as we speak. With this, I hand over the floor to Nandakumar, who will walk you through our financial performance.
Thank you, Mukundan, and good morning to everyone. Let me take you through the performance, after which we go to the Q&A. On the headline numbers first, our revenues for the quarter was at 4218 crores as against 4000 crores last year's Q1, higher by 6%. Revenue increase was driven by price increase partly impacted by lower volumes across geographies and contributions being impacted mainly in India and UK. EBITDA for the quarter was at 1043 crores as against 1015 crores last year, and this in fact is the all-time high EBITDA ever. The EBITDA margins were lower by 0.7% owing to pricing drops in India and lower volumes. PAT for the quarter was at 578 crores, lowered by 10% compared to last year's Q1. Moving on to each business, starting with India, revenue for the quarter was at 1135 crores. Soda ash volumes were down by 8%. The prices were lower owing to the price drops taken during the quarter. Salt business continued to perform well, and good volumes came there. Bicarb volumes were a bit down compared to last year's Q1. Moving to US, it delivered yet another very good quarter, with revenues and profitability registering healthy growth over last year's Q1. The business continues to benefit from better prices following the newer contracts entered during the beginning of the calendar year. UK business performed well, with revenues up by 22% as compared to last year's Q1. EBITDA was at 17% for the quarter. As far as Kenya is concerned, both volumes and prices saw softening, which in turn impacted margins and profits for the quarter. As far as Silica Nutra is concerned, both the businesses have growth map in front of them. With time and investment, we expect both the segments to clock in good numbers going forward. Moving on to Rallis, Q1 was one of the most challenging periods for the agrochemical industry. Crop care business has been affected by high market inventories, steep price drops and delayed monsoon. Although revenues for Q1 was lower compared to Q1 of last year, margins were largely maintained through better product mix and good pricing. Our company's long-term strategy remains unchanged, focused on increasing manufacturing capacities and product portfolio expansion and widening market reach. Our cash at the conso was at 1544 crores end of June 23. Capex for the quarter was 426 crores and net debt was at 4329 crores. With that, I close my comments and hand over back to moderator to open up for the Q&A session. Thank you. Gavin, over to you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Saurabh Jain from HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My question is that we have seen a decline in volumes on soda ash for all the geographies. While India, you alluded to, there was an impact of the cyclone. But, you know, the rest of the geographies, is the impact more because of softness in demand as such in industry, or is it more because of any loss to, you know, market share to the new capacities that have been coming online? And then what is your outlook on the volume recovery from here on?
Yeah, so let me address this broadly. I think, Saurabh, in India, it is a combination of, partly the cyclone and also because of cyclone, some precautionary operational measures taken by us at the plant. So that was the main reason till about, April, May, we were pretty much on track. It is towards the end of June where I think the we saw a bigger dip in the numbers. As far as Kenya is concerned, I think our biggest shift has come in two markets, one in Thailand, other one in South Africa, where in Thailand, of course, there's a pressure felt from the Chinese imports and some large quantities landing up there. So we had to continue to serve our contracted customers, but we ensured that we got into fresh contracts so that going forward we have volumes which we could push in that market and engage with customers. In South Africa, there was certainly a certain large amount of consignment which had landed in the market, which delayed some of our customer orders. So it is more a temporary phenomenon as far as Magadi is concerned in the markets, which it should catch up over a period of time. As far as the U.S. is concerned, there was no issue of any market issues. It was more related to some pressures we did feel at the beginning of the year, which was a spillover of the last quarter, where there were supply chain issues with respect to the railroad movement. And that has now more or less corrected. There's been a change in leadership and management, and they have assured in the railroad that they will fix these issues, and we are seeing improvements in the situation. I would say it is not fully resolved, but it is pretty much on the way to getting resolved as far as the rail movement is concerned. So I think in quarter one, we would not attribute it largely to market. Our commentary on the market is going forward. And when I said short term, I think that period could range between 9 to 12 months on one hand to stretching as much as 15 to 18 months. We have to see how China demand improves. The overhang of basically the real estate sector pressures which are being transmitted to the flat glass industry are creating undue pressure on the market, especially with respect to supplies coming on. So there's a mismatch there, which I think if we put in our demand-supply model, that continues for anywhere between, let's say, a year to year and a half, after which it sort of equates again. So that's the broad market and our operation issues.
Okay, that is helpful. My second question would be that we are seeing some softness, you know, that is pretty evident in the soda ash pricing. Are you seeing any pricing adjustments in the U.S. exports business? And also, you know, you lock in the contracts for the domestic part of the U.S. business. But any sort of renegotiation that can happen in those contracts as well for the rest of the year? Any insights will be really helpful.
So broadly, I think where it is contracted, I think if the erosion is even more sharp than what we see, I think customers will have to get accommodated. I see no reason why we would not do so. At this point of time, the domestic contracts, especially in these markets, are still holding. There has been some impact because of some furnace closures, because of, you would know about the Bud Light controversy which happened, and that has led to some container glass impact because of that controversy, wherein I think two or three furnaces had to be closed because of lack of Bud Light. This is the largest selling beer in the US. So, but other than that, we haven't seen any major issue. On the export market, certainly I think we move pretty close to the marketplace, so especially in Southeast Asia. I think it is a quarterly adjustment, so you would continue to see us reset, partly supported by, let us say, on the price side, partly supported by the costs also easing along the way. In UK, it is more or less contracted. The open position for UK is more about quarter four, so we'll have to wait and see how the situation moves, especially in the local context of Europe. I think that is a very different context where I don't see the commentary very similar to the rest of the place, and there it is more about European market situation, where our worry is not so much on the market side but more on the energy side. We've had a very good set of gas storage numbers, so the gas prices have been benign in UK, but we are very watchful. We have gone ahead and done our hedging on energy more or less so that we don't get impacted during the year, but we'll wait and watch and see what how it unfolds in terms of supplies, energy supplies there.
Thank you.
Okay, but
sorry to interrupt, Mr. Saurabh.
Yeah, sure.
No, we request you to rejoin the question queue. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Arjun Khanna from Kotak Mutual Funds. Please go ahead, sir.
Sure. So thank you for taking the question. So the first one, in terms of our CAPEX, you've mentioned the next phase. Have we decided amount, what would be the CAPEX amount for this 1 million expansion?
Yeah, so broadly speaking, I think in India it is already approved and it is already underway. It is our last CAPEX round finished at about 2,900, and this CAPEX round will finish at about 2,600 odd crores, and of which I think 1,300 crores is on soda ash and the balance 1,300 crores is on other products. So broadly that's the overall money being to be spent. Now in terms of that will give us about 0.3 million tons in addition to what we have already on, which is the disclosed number in terms of the soda ash capacity. Yeah. The as far as Kenya is concerned, it is not going to be a major capex. Our numbers are hovering around $20 to $25 million, and pretty much it is debottlenecking. In US again, I think it probably is closer to about $80 to $100 million, with the large amount of element being on process improvement and some debottlenecking of the group.
Sure. Just to understand this, you're saying US 100 million for 300,000 capacity?
Yeah, it is still for 400,000, it is still being worked out. It could be up or down by another 20%, so the detailed engineering is on its way. And largely it depends on whether we choose to go ahead with the switch fully to gas or not to gas. I think that decision is yet to be made, but otherwise other elements are more or less in place. Addition of a 13th calciner and some element of, let's say, the Trona purification process which is being undertaken.
Sure. Thank you for this. The second question is, when I look at a standalone, I see we did an EBIT loss of almost 22 crores on 51 crores of revenue. Could you help us understand this, why such a large EBIT loss given your commentary? You all spoke of the specialty side of it improving.
Oh, standalone, yeah. I think in standalone, it is more related to our silica. We have two businesses. Silica business has performed to a plan. It, in fact, had a positive EBITDA number but I think the bigger issue we faced was on the Nellore, the nutraceutical, the fructo-oligosaccharide fermentation platform, where the unit had produced in anticipation of an export order last quarter. since that order is getting delayed, we decided to slow down production and run the unit. In fact, the unit restarted production only, I think, about 30 days ago and has been running at 50% capacity because the stocks are still with us. Until that order comes through and that those stocks are shipped, we don't want to produce. It's a management decision entirely.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Arjun Khanna, may we request you to rejoin the question queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So first question is on China. So China coming back, has it changed in terms of the movement of soda ash across different geographies? And will it likely to stay till this new capacity comes in phases over the next few years? Thank you.
So I think the way it would work out, I think it's a model which we have to sort of work out the way it will work in the short term and in the medium term. In the short term, certainly the exporters who are manufacturers close to coast will begin to move the material out of China, which is what is happening. Our own view is that the prices have hit a bottom in terms of their cash break-even numbers. And if at all, we would see reflection of logistic cost improvement being passed on to customers, but we don't see a bigger shift out of China in terms of pricing. But volumes will certainly move out because the natural ash will tend to displace synthetic ash. In the medium term, what will likely to happen is exactly how it unfolded in U.S. In U.S., there was a combination of synthetic and natural plants, but as natural plants came on stream, it completely wiped out the synthetic plants domestically. So we do believe that certain uncompetitive capacities which are there within China will be challenged. But that process will take time. It is not going to be an immediate issue, so it will unfold over a period of time and we'll have to keep watching. But overall, I think it will also be a combination of in terms of when the demand-supply situation balances out. At that point, I think any further changes in capacity will be put on hold. So our view is that this balancing broadly happens in about 12 to 18 months. After that, I think we will have a better, clearer picture of how much of natural capacity will remain, but how much of synthetic capacity will remain and how will it balance out in the overall context.
Right, sir. Got it. Sir, second question is in terms of demand from user segments, is there any challenge in certain geographies from the downstream demand in particular users?
Yeah, I think so. I think different geographies have different issues. So let me just highlight. I think as far as China is concerned, I mentioned already, it's the construction sector which has really been the problematic in terms of the our previous model and what is coming through in the current model. We've had to take some downward adjustments on those numbers. In India, it has been primarily the export market. You know, the dye and chemical sector has not been doing well, and that is reflected in some of the export numbers out of India for intermediate chemicals where soda ash is consumed. Also in India, there has been a sharp fall in caustic soda prices, so silicate market has switched to caustic in the meantime from soda ash, so there's been a switch of use. That end use actually can switch between caustic and soda ash, and that has created a issue in Indian demand. As far as Kenya is concerned, it is pretty much all markets are fine. I can't see anything related to market. It was just extra shipments landing up from various markets which led to inventory issue. In terms of U.S., the big driver in U.S. up till now has been the one big event which happened in the market, which is the Bud Light controversy on the container glass. As that demand shifts to other bottlers, I think we will see that piece easing over a period of time. The big issue we need to watch out is about interest rates, whether it starts to begin to hurt on housing starts and those elements. We remain watchful, but we don't see any big shifts up till now. If there are any, we will bring into the commentary by next quarter.
Thank you. Mr. Rohit Nagraj, may we request you to rejoin the question queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Abhijit Akela from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning and thank you so much for taking my questions. Just a couple. One is on the Inner Mongolia soda ash expansion. Is it actually 1.5 million tons that has come on stream so far? And I believe the projection by the producer was to ramp up to 5 million tons by December of this year. So do you see them on track for that sort of timeline, or would you expect that to get significantly delayed?
So as far as Berun is concerned, we think by the next year at least 3 million will be there. That is what our model states. We have not used any number. I think the 1.5 million ton has been slightly ahead of what, about 3 months ahead in our schedule versus what has actually happened on the ground. And I think by next year we had modeled 3, and we are also watching the speed which the streams come on stream. We will remain vigilant. As of now, we know that 1.5 has come on stream, which is about 50% of what they had to, our model was to say.
Yeah, sorry, just to clarify, this 3 million by next year is by end of CY24, like December, or, you know, sometime earlier in the year?
I think during next year, it probably is going to average around 3. So that is what our numbers, our model was modeled on, and we retain that model.
Understood. No, that's helpful. Thank you. And just the other thing I just wanted to check is, I know you've alluded to this a few times in the past, but just to sort of maybe try to get an update, if any, with regard to the Tata Group's EV battery plans, you know, is there any sort of involvement that Tata Chemicals might have in any capacity, over the, let's say, next 2-3 years or so?
So as mentioned, even during AGM, we continue to work on the chemical side of the battery requirement together. If there are any opportunities which come up, we will certainly make those announcements as and when required. So we continue to work with all Tata companies in terms of their chemical requirement. And wherever there is a match and wherever there is a capability match, we would engage. And this also falls in the same bucket.
Thank you. Mr. Abhijit, may we request you to rejoin the question queue, please? Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vivek Rajamani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the presentation. Just from a cost perspective, just wanted to understand, you know, what was the biggest driver of the higher cost that we saw in UK? And secondly, in relation, if you could just talk about how we should think about cost going forward, and, you know, what kind of levers are available at your end to really optimize costs over the next few quarters? Thank you.
So, Vivek, the costs are more or less stabilized now. We don't anticipate any spikes in costs. As far as UK is concerned, I think we had the benefit of lower hedging, which we benefited during last year. And now it is the current hedging rate. So what you see this quarter will continue into we anticipate should continue, but and we have also hedged it. We remain watchful on the European energy cost side, that's the outline. We also have in UK, for example, a surplus power capacity which we need power into the grid, and that really depends on the spark spread, and that impacts the cost element which we take the net cost into our calculation. So whenever wind energy is very high, our spark spread reduces, and that increases the net energy cost for us because we are not able to wheel power into the grid. So it is only these two combinations. It's going to remain range bound, I think, right across all our units, and trending to go down in some geographies like India and US because that softness remains. The counter to that, Vivek, is if the world demand increases, especially coming out of China, these prices will probably hold, will not fall any further.
Thank you, sir. Just to clarify, I think the last time you mentioned that you do have some high-cost inventories that are going to be unwinding progressively. Would it be fair to say that going forward, any cost benefit would just be a function of these energy prices? Or is there anything that you could do specifically to, you know, further optimize costs?
Yeah, I think what you would see, the reduction in costs, some of them would be the unwinding of the inventory levels, because at any given point of time, we have 3 to 4 months inventory. As that winds down, the cost at which it is fed into the plant will be lower. But market costs are not changing too much. I would just leave it as they are. So it is mostly driven off our inventory numbers.
Thank you. May we request you to rejoin the queue, Mr. Rajamani? Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is regarding U.S. business. So we have seen in domestic market sales of U.S. in last 2 quarters, there is a volume decline and export is doing good. So can you talk about last two quarters, is there any slowdown of the demand of soda ash in particularly domestic U.S. market? The second is, after easing out of the supply chain, and we are selling into the neighboring country and exporting to from U.S. to other markets. So is there any pressure in the demand side also? And the third in for U.S. also, what is the contract mix of 6 months and quarter and year for the U.S. business?
So U.S. mostly domestic would be annual calendar contracts, so they would be contracted right up to December. On the export side, part of them are annual, part of them are quarterly. Those which are going to some parts of customers in South America would be annual, and some rest of them would be quarterly. So that's the mix in this. And in terms of the specific domestic volumes, really we ship to manage our margins and customer orders, except for some bit of railroad issues and container glass issues, we haven't seen any major shift. And also some part of the shift would be towards material going towards Mexico, so I would not read anything beyond that.
Okay. So when you talk about the some mix is for the quarterly contract, so do you expect some softness in the realization in entire U.S. market, entire U.S. business?
Not on the export side. I would say on the domestic side, certainly we have to wait for the New Year contracts to be signed, where they settle. I think that's quarter four issue, which also is true for U.K. On the export side, I think it is mostly getting reset every quarter, so you would continue to see shifts as the market numbers shifts.
Okay, because you are at the lifetime EBITDA per ton in Q1 FY24. So do you think there will be a normalization of EBITDA per ton from here onwards?
Yeah, I think if you look at it, the export side, as I said, there will be certain shifts which will be happening, but it will still be better than last year.
Thank you. Mr. Sumant Kumar, may we request you to rejoin the question queue? Our next question. Before we take our next question, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Tejas Sheth from Nippon Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Just on the 1 million ton addition in the capacity of soda ash, what would be the timeline of these?
So these are under execution, so normally they would come on stream over the next 36 months. So our current plan, which is to take the soda ash capacity in India to 1 million tons, that part is should be finishing by that 2.3 lakh tons, which is in the presentation sent to you, as well as most of it should come on stream by September, when we expect our boilers to come on stream, and partly it may spill over into some months of October or so. So what is in the fact should be more or less done by then. And the new 1 million in addition to that, which is 400 in US and 250 odd in Kenya, that is underway, and that should come in about 36 months.
Okay. And the balance 1300 crores which we are spending, which will be towards which products, and what will be the timeline completion of those?
Yeah, so I said that approximately 2600 in India, of which 1300 is in soda ash, which is broadly towards the soda ash and salt and some bicarbonate. So it is in the core products only. And all these numbers which I said were all for that 1 million ton largely.
Okay, okay. And on the EV battery comment which you made, where we are working with the group companies on the chemical side of it, it's only on the sodium ion battery side, or we are even working on the lithium ion side?
Yeah, there are chemicals which all companies use, so we continue to engage with them wherever our chemicals can go, or we have an opportunity to produce them, because they will be manufacturing at scale, capacity to be created for them. We'll engage with them, and to the extent that we can have a profitable, viable pathway to implement, we will implement them. It is not related to sodium or those chemistries.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Seth. May we request you to rejoin the queue, please? Thank you. Our next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, and thank you very much. So, can we have some numbers in terms of what was the global consumption in first quarter and the available production in the world, and how you see this demand-supply balance moving in terms of numbers, say, in the next 1 year?
So, I won't give you quarter, but I'll give you the annual number. I think broadly, I think our net addition in the model of the new capacity coming on stream was about 2.2 million ton or so. That has been, we think we underestimated that by a million ton. And the demand fall, which is really driven off what has happened in China largely, has been almost close to about a million ton. So the overall overhang is about 2 million ton right now. So 2 to 2.5 million ton as we speak. So I will speak in terms of net numbers in the model rather than take specific numbers.
Okay, so the next thought is then, when do you see this overhang of supply getting absorbed by new demand, especially the solar glass? And you said it's about 1 to 1.5 years for the construction market in China to improve. So if that remains soft, do we see the solar panel addition and lithium carbonate growth absorbing this?
It includes everything. It is not just that element alone. It is all of it.
Okay. So that means we need to see underlying fundamental demand in across all the sectors improve before this supply overhang can be absorbed. Is that a correct way of understanding this?
So the issue, drivers are very different across markets. So as I mentioned, in China, it mainly seems to be driven off the construction the real estate and the whole element around it, and where there's a slowdown. Rest of the segments are not seeing that kind of a slowdown. In India, for example, it is mostly led by the export softness which our exporters are seeing, especially into Europe for dyes and dye stuff and other chemicals. And also the switching of the demand from caustic to caustic in silicate sector broadly. I mean, there's been a bit of a switch there. Caustic switch as well as the export demand, we have to watch the market as we go. And the other one on the construction side, we have to really keep focusing on the Chinese government policies with respect to interest rates, funding and all that. And rest of the world, again, I just want to say Europe and the U.S. Other parts of the world, certainly the heightened interest rates, if they continue to harden more, I think that will put pressure again on the housing and housing sector, which again flows back into the flat glass. So we need to watch this, whether we are at the end of the interest rate cycle or it is going to continue to be hardening even more.
Okay, so coming to the UK business, so in terms of the growth from the pharma grade, bicarbonate, and in other initiatives you're taking on energy, do you think that will improve the EBITDA performance of UK, say, in FY25 and going forward?
Yeah, I think that remains on track, and that will continue to be the positive driver, and it will continue to the baseline EBITDA which we used to sort of track in UK for about 25 million pounds, that would move up by at least 10 to 15 million pounds. That is the broad change which should happen.
Thank you. Mr. Ramesh, may we request you to rejoin the question queue, please? Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Co. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, namaskar, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, firstly, if you could allude again, what would be the normalized margin for our UK business? I think the per ton margin was guided to us from this quarter onwards, this quarter itself. So these numbers are the ones which we should consider in for the year as a whole, analyze them, or what should be the margin profile for the UK business?
For which business, sorry?
Sir, for the UK business, we were informed that we were moving into per ton margin from Q1, the reported quarter.
Yeah. So I think if you just look at the per ton margin structure, I think in the contracted, which most of it is contracted in soda ash, that will track the quarter one broadly. And quarter four, we will have to still go through the per ton margin structure, because that contract is closed for first three quarters.
So these will be the normal reported margins. These Q1 numbers are the one which we can analyze, because these are very lower set of numbers for the UK segment.
Difficult to say, but this should probably track the numbers as we move forward, because this is the contracted number. This reflects the contracted number.
Okay, sir. On the import part of the story for the Indian market, sir, what have been the imports in the country, sir, for the last quarter? And sir, also you mentioned about that generally we have seen that when there is a natural capacity coming up in the region, the chemical process, the other capacity generally went down. So what is the current split between the same in China? And also on what is the incremental demand from solar? I think so. Annual the per day capacity, the per day production of solar panels is 1 lakh per ton, that was reported somewhere in China. So if you could sum up these three points, sir.
The point about synthetic versus natural in the regional, or what I would call in the country markets where it is. I think will play out, and that's largely a function of overall domestic demand and domestic supply, and how much surplus needs to travel out, because exports are generally less remunerative than domestic sales. So that will play out specific to China. Today it remains the largest producer and largest consumer, accounting for almost 30 million tons of demand and 30 million tons of supply. On that 30 million ton, I think overall, while by next year end, at least 3 million ton will be on stream, we expect another bit to move. The market estimation is it will go up to about 5 million tons of natural ash coming out of Inner Mongolia. That effectively is about close to 17-18% of the domestic demand. So that's a large overhang, and we do anticipate some kind of rebalancing to happen there internally. A timeline for which I think we can't estimate. And if the demand bounces back in China and it moves in a robust manner, I think the impact on the synthetic will be less. I think that is the difficult part, why we are not giving any specific guidance on that piece. At least our model, we are not able to model that. The second piece in terms of soda ash demand into solar glass, broadly, I think you can take 20%. If someone opens a 1,000 ton per day plant, he will need 200 tons per day of soda ash. That's broad thumb rule which one can use.
Thank you. Mr. Saket Kapoor, may we request you to rejoin the queue, please? We have a follow-up question from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello. So in the nutraceutical segment, has production resumed normally, and if they are able to operate a normal run rate, do we expect that to, you know, show profits over the rest of FY24? And do you see the India specialties business contributing to our earnings in this India business over FY25?
Yeah, so I won't go that far. I'll just remain in the current situation. Current situation, our utilization actually is below what we had last year. It was it is running at about 50% because we are holding inventory and which we need to sort of address by getting contracting export orders, which our teams are working. In terms of silica, I think it is not so much related to market. We are running the plant at about 85% or 90% capacity. It's almost nearly full because if you account for switches in product grade and all, that is the rate at which it needs to run. Where we need more additional plant, what we are doing is to take up the capacity. By October, I think we will be fully aligned to the tire and rubber business. And we would take the capacities to 13,000 ton, and we are in the planning phase of adding another 10,000 tons of capacity there. It's more a capacity issue, and silica is certainly a profitable and a steadier business today for us. So that's where we are.
Thank you. We move to our next question. Our next question is from the line of Manikanta Gare from Franklin Templeton, India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning, sir. A couple of questions from my side. The first one is, with respect to your earlier comment that in China, in the medium term to long term, we may see the capacity shift from synthetic to natural processing. In that context, wanted to understand, are you seeing that reserves in this Inner Mongolia area are as high as what we have got in the US, because I think we are related to what has happened in the US. I'm just wondering if you have got any number with respect to that reserves there. That's the first question, sir.
We couldn't hear clearly. Can you repeat that again?
So I was asking about your earlier comments, sir. Am I audible now?
You're audible, but it's not very clear. Can you speak slowly? Hello.
Sir, the line for Mr. Gare has dropped. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for participating in the conference call. As we mentioned, that the quarter one has been delivered well considering the market conditions. We remain watchful for rest of the year, and the only thing we continue to do is to engage with our customers and ensure we have agile response to marketplace and ensure our costs and margins are held tightly. At the same time, our medium-term and long-term strategy in terms of bringing on stream additional capacity remains on track, and we will navigate this period with agility to ensure that we have a more robust balance sheet, higher level of customer engagement in the relevant markets, and ensure that our profitability and contribution continue to improve. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Tata Chemicals Limited, that concludes the conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.